You get a workout walking from the other end of the building to here. So very excited about this year's draft class, especially today. Thought we added a lot of talent to this roster, a lot of guys that are going to come in and compete. Theme was, again, sticking with the athletic traits that we're looking for and relying on this coaching staff to develop a lot of this young talent, because a lot of the traits that they have, you can't teach, you can't coach, but you can sure develop them. So we were a little active, going more up than back this year in the third day. A lot of that started when we were able to trade back last night. And one of the reasons I wanted to do that was to make sure we had enough ability to manipulate the board today. And then just almost finished with our unrestricted or our college free agent signings. We'll have that announcement probably sometime tomorrow as we get the agreements coming in. So I'll go ahead and open it up for questions.
As you kind of wrap things up, where's your level of confidence that the biggest needs coming into the draft were addressed?
I think we had a lot of needs. I think we wanted to go out and just sign the best football players we can and create as much competition at each position as we can create. And I think the more quality you have at the positions, the more competition you can create at each position, it brings guys up another notch. And we're very excited not only with what we're able to accomplish in free agency, but also the addition of this draft class.
Rick, when you look at the state of the veterans on the roster, does that take a little bit of pressure off of rookies to come in and have to fill a role right away?
I think the coaches, and we still expect high expectations on them coming in. So I know coaches can't wait to get their hands on them next weekend when we have our rookie mini camp. And I know, though, you know, last year I thought Coach Zimmer and the coaching staff did a great job on keeping those guys a lot of times after practice during the OTAs to give them the extra attention they need. And I know we got a plan in place for these guys. And you don't know until they get out there on, you know, we know that we have some pretty good athletes that are coming in the building. Now it's a matter of seeing how quickly we can get them to develop. And very excited to see this class and how quickly we can get them to develop.
You consider trading back from that 102 spot to start today?
We had a couple calls. Nothing that I thought was significant enough. I think, you know, there was a run on guys up there at the top, and that's such a critical part of the draft to be up there in that top tier, especially in that, you know, top 10, top 5 to 10 picks. And we put four names on the board, and all four came off the board pretty quickly. But I knew Jalen Holmes, we spent a lot of time with him. I've seen him play live twice. I've done him on film. I know we spent time with him at the combine. Myself, Coach Zimmer, and Andre Patterson went and worked him out at the Ohio State Pro Day. And you can't teach that length. You can't teach that athleticism. I think he was 6.047, almost 280 pounds, and he ran 4.77 on our clocks, you know, with arms that almost hang down to the floor. So I think the ideal with him, when we talked about him, was we want to continue to develop inside pass rush. And he's played base end, but we'll probably start him inside at under tackle and then start developing him as an inside pass rusher.
What was the decision made to draft a kicker, and what does it mean for the future of Kai Forbath?
The decision was made because we were following our board. And we felt he was a very talented kicker. I had an opportunity to see him in the SEC championship game against Georgia before we played Atlanta that Sunday. I know Coach Prefer spent a lot of time going through this, just like any other position. So to me, a kicker doesn't make a difference. We're trying to get quality depth and quality competition. And Coach Prefer went down, had a private workout with him, came back, and when we talked, we spent, I think I said this the other day, almost 3.5 hours in a special teams meeting on kickers, on punters, on long snappers, on returners, and on some of these defensive guys that we drafted that played on special teams. So the whole objective right now at this point is to create the most competitive 90-man roster you can, regardless of position.
Would you think you'll have competition at kicker then throughout the spring?
I think yes.
How much did his leg strength or ability to kick long field goals play into it, and even kickoffs?
Yeah, no, I think he has a tremendous leg on kickoffs. I know he has a very strong leg on field goals. I know Coach Prefer, when he went down and worked him out, was very impressed. I know Coach Prefer did some things to tweak technique here and there, but felt he was another kid that we wanted to get in and come in and compete, to see where this goes.
Have you concerns at right guard? Regard to veteran free agents?
I'm sorry?
Have you filled your void in regard to veteran free agents?
No, that'll always be open. So we'll continue to monitor that market and what's out there. It never changes. Every day we come in and guys that haven't been signed yet, the next thing is going to be getting these rookies in here and start evaluating where they're at. But we'll continue to monitor what's out there as well. We're always going to do that.
Rick, are there concerns at right guard, and do you wish you had addressed that earlier?
Well, you wish you could address a lot of things. You just got to address what it comes to you. You know, I will never reach to say to fill a void if they're not developed on our board that way. I think that's when you make mistakes. You know, Gossett, I thought, was of great value where we got him in the sixth round. I know we liked him down at the Senior Bowl. Tough kid. I also know we have some guys currently on this roster. We're very excited about where Danny Isidore is and how he's coming along. So, we picked up a kid from Philadelphia in the offseason that we feel has a chance as well. So I think we have a lot of guys that are going to come in and compete. You know, last year we redid the offensive line, made some tough personnel decisions, but that's what you do. And I think we have enough viable bodies in there that it's going to be a pretty good competition where we can – find our best five combination before we open up against 49ers.
Compton is one of those guys that can be in the
mix. I would say everybody's one of those guys right now. We haven't been on the field yet, so that evaluation will start here shortly.
You mentioned a couple days ago looking at this draft not just for 2018 but for 2019 as well, with Diggs coming in his last year and Kendall Wright only on one-year deal. Were you looking at wide receiver? Did it just not fall that way, or you were addressing that?
Yeah, the one thing that you got to look at that you guys probably don't see is depth. So if you're down there in those later rounds and it may be light at linebacker, it may be light at defensive end, but there's still a lot of quality depth at the receiver position, for example, then let's wait. Because, it's going to fall off pretty quickly if we don't take any of these guys. The receiver will wait till the college free agency period begins, and then let's go and be as aggressive as we can to go out and get the top guys out there, and I think we're able to accomplish that.
Rick, I know you do plenty of simulations and mock drafts before, obviously, the draft, but could you share one or two things that you thought were unique or maybe even surprised you about this draft specifically?
I don't know if it's anything was unique because I think every draft's unique. There's always twists and turns, and that's what makes the draft so much fun. I think someone described it as reality TV that's happening right in front of you, and that's the funnest part about the draft is reacting to what's happening. So there's always unique things that happen. There was unique things that happened. I think it was even some of the trades that we did. There was some unique moving around. But that, to me, is the funnest part of the draft.
Rick, if you talk about athleticism, a few of these guys are former basketball players.
We're going to have a hell of an intramural team coming up. So we're taking on the media after the season.
How does that kind of play in? Does that demonstrate how good these guys are as athletes?
Yeah, no, these guys are, Conklin is a tremendous athlete. I know the defensive end. Make sure Aruna is a great athlete. All these guys are long. All these guys can jump out of the gym. All these guys can run. And when you have those traits, to me and to this coaching staff and to our philosophy, when you can get athletes in like that, it gives you a chance to hit on some guys that can be pretty special. And I think when we go that route, you can look at some good football, and we talk about this all the time in the draft meetings. This guy may be a better football player today, but this guy has such a higher ceiling, and our coaches are so eager to work with these athletes. And to me, that's when you get an opportunity to maybe hit on a guy that can be something that, you know, Danelle Hunters of the world. You know, I think when we drafted him in the third, I don't know how popular that was because he had one sack coming out. But he had such great traits and things that these coaches love to work with that he's developed. So that's the philosophy we've kind of used as we went through the draft.
When you mentioned it, Runa, when you get down to the lower rounds, is that kind of the area where you look at guys maybe just are better athletes than they might be, you know, football players?
Well, I think you're pretty good football players, too. I mean, if we wanted athletes, we'd go out and watch the Olympics. The curling team did an outstanding job, by the way. I thought that was very good.
Schuster's an undrafted guy you're going to sign.
No, yeah, I think as long as those kids are high-character kids that love to play football, that will work, want to come in and work and get better and willing to put in the time, then I do believe they have an opportunity to potentially be something pretty special.
Have you ever trained it up twice, and the second time you trained up, you got the picks that you just handed over?
I wish I can tell you that I knew what all the trades were over the last 5 years. I just know it's with Rob Brzezinski and George Payton working the phones, and, you know, there's three or four different deals coming at you with 3 minutes left on the clock. So we have a system in place where I can see everything. And then you go off, you know, your gut instinct and your experience, what you think the best trades are. And especially if we're trying to trade up. And the other part of the trade is whether you trade up or back is you're trying to anticipate teams that you're trying to jump that, you know, if you covet a guy or you want to make sure you go get that guy, where are the potential hot spots where you can lose them? So how high do you got to go up? Or if I think we can trade back and still get the guy like we did in the third round of the fourth, and we were able to still get Holmes, then you move back. But a lot of it has to do with a lot of the study, a lot of understanding all the other teams' needs, understanding what they did in free agency before the draft, understanding who they lost from their team last year, and also watching and what they're drafting. So there's a lot of moving pieces, but with the technology and everything we have up there in place, and now we used to do it all with paper, and now it's all electronic, but you can really see, okay, I know if I have to go up, I have to get ahead of these four teams if we want to go get that player, because that's where potentially the hot spot is.
Is that why there's more trade? Does the technology give you more time to think and call?
I don't know if the technology gives you more time to think. I think it's the thinking's still the same. I can think on paper, like
you can talk about moving balls, you know, magnets around and stuff.
Yeah, you can do things a lot more efficient with the technology, I would say.
Is that why there's more trade, you think, or is
there? I don't know. I couldn't speak with any other what other teams or philosophies.
Are there more trades? I mean, in recent, it seems like it. But then again, we don't know if it's just there's more attention paid to it.
Right. I think why there's probably more trades is once they made those compensatory picks tradable. Before, once you got into compensatory rounds, you couldn't trade those. But now when you have 3 sixes or 3 sevens or, you know, 3 fives, you have a lot of ability to take those picks and do a lot more trading because you have a lot more currency to do that because those compensatory picks now are tradable.
How much did it matter not getting the 10 that you always like to have?
As long as I get the good football players. But I think, you know, when we finish up this college free agent draft, I think a lot of those guys were draftable talent. So I look at it that way. I'm going to have to call the Wolves here. We went pretty aggressive now to go out and get some guys that we thought were pretty talented on our board.
About how many college free agents do you anticipate signing?
I'll have you the final number. I told those guys upstairs that do not spend any more money until I get back up there. So,
Tyler Conklin, what did you see in him, and you know how do his traits kind of translate to this offense?
You know, Flip always wanted a tight end that could be a potential mismatch guy. When you watched his tape, I know he was injured and missed a lot at the beginning of the season. And then we watched his tape when they split him out. They put him as an H. They put him as an F. You can do a lot of things with him. He has tremendous hand-eye coordination. You've seen him make the great catch in the Senior Bowl when he wheeled around, I think it was on a South Carolina State linebacker, who was also an excellent player. So you see all those traits that you can develop into a potential mismatch type guy.
Time for two more.
Do you intend to exercise the fifth-year option on Trey Waynes?
We'll make all those announcements coming up here shortly.
Wooden's got such an interesting story coming from Nigeria and only playing football for 5 years. When did he first get on your radar?
I think last year, because he had a tremendous year last year when they kind of split him out a little wider and let him just go up and rush the passer. This year they reduced him down inside, so he wasn't as effective. But when you have a guy with that length, and I think he ran 4.58 for us on our watches, and that arm length, that we felt that that guy has an opportunity to be a potential edge rusher for us, especially when you go back and watch the 16 tape on him.
The hot spots in the draft earlier. How do you feel like you navigated the landscape of the draft with all these clips and talent?
I think, well, if you ask me, I thought I did a hell of a job. What do you want me to say, no? No, I think, you know, it's funny because you get texts from your buddies, you know, and I won't say teams or stuff like that, but I know three times teams text you right away and say, oh, that was our guy, you know, guys that I'm especially close with. But I do think it's all – you have to go off of a little bit of experience and instinct. And, you know, two of them were we did the right thing, for sure. I know that. Actually, three. I had three texts that were pretty interesting from some of my other buddies. And we all – you know, everybody – it's a pretty small circle of people that you associate with, so we're pretty open and honest with each other. All right. Thank you.